Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here it goes.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Upside his head. Who are you, man? Is your name doctor? Is your name lawyer?
your name, educator? Who are you? Who are you? Identify yourself, not by what you say, by what you do. Your brother wanna hear from you. Who are you? Come on, cause we wanna know right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The mighty propagators from back in the day, and they still play because it's the truth. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning, afternoon maybe for some of you on the East Coast, for Quran Salat Institute. Alhamdulillah, we're going to be continuing. It's kind of a, I did not signal to my blog talk folks that I'm jumping in live this morning, but inshallah, perhaps some of you are on the Facebook and YouTube side of the issue, but you'll catch up, inshallah. We're continuing on the subject of an abstract understanding of the primary story of Adam in the Holy Quran. This is timeless. Again, it's timeless. It's forever, for as far as our humanity is concerned. And everybody on their particular trip through this life, through this existence, you know, if you get it understood and live it out by interpreting and applying it correctly, then you'll be just fine. Alhamdulillah, I do have to tell you, our last week's broadcast, usually I do a review of sorts of whatever I broadcast the prior week and, you know, see if there's some holes, some gaps and the like, some things I need to amplify, clarify, what have you. I'm very satisfied with what we did. And I actually encourage you to go back and listen to that portion of it when I was doing something of a personification of as though Allah is speaking to us, right? And so in terms of that that narration, you can really, really get some clarity on an understanding of okay, this is God talking to me in my life in this world. You know, maybe some of you had, you know, a mother or a father or a grandfather or a grandmother or an uncle, or maybe even a counselor or a teacher that put you on to an understanding that continues to serve you right now. If we could get into a relationship with Allah's revelation and al-Islam in that way, our life, mashallah, yes, we are going to have slips, falls, some uneven ground that we have to move over in life. But by and large, always having that map, that compass, to help us in either case at any time, which is Al-Islam, the Quran, Life, Mala, Prophet Muhammad, and those of us who have the good fortune of embracing Imam Muhammad's methodology. It's like your life should be good. I mean, you should be working on something that you hope to realize. That being said, I'm saying all that to say that as we describe these verses 29 through 37 of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, and we're just doing, you know, simple narration, simple amplification, interpretation, if you will, of the verses, so as to read it and read out of it what it is as a recipe for our lives. Because again, I say as I began, that this story is forever. Story is the permanence of this story, the whole Quran, of course. But when Allah is telling us about this is how you started, this is how your life began in creation. And Allah is the one who creates and repeats. So when you understand this story and understand that it is a never-ending story and an oft-repeating story, and then you come to live it out, right? That's fine. Okay, so let's go. So we've already said that verse 29 of chapter 2, verse 29, it is the preface, the frame, the foreword for the verses that follow. And in this case, we're going from 29 to 37. So the heading of it all is verse 29, and the body of the message is 30 through 37, Allahu A'lam. And so the entire story is a figurative expression revealing the abstract beginning of the original human nature. And when we speak of that original human nature, we're speaking in the abstract. We're not speaking about the biological human being. We're speaking about the human being as intended by Allah in his original creation. We speak of it as fitr. And this fitr, the label that's put on that nature is Adam. Adam is the title of that original human nature. And that original human nature comprises the excellence of the masculine and the feminine. We're still in the abstract. We're still in the non-corporeal, the non-physical, the metaphysical dimension, the abstract dimension. And that's also one of the meanings of Adam being created in heaven or created in paradise or what have you. It means that he's created on a very, very high plane, created on a very, very high plane. And that's what we all are. We all are by nature. It's one nature, Europeans, Africans, Asians, North Americans, whatever. We're all humans. We're all humans. Human, one nature. And that one nature is labeled as Adam. And it is a nature that, again, comprises the excellence of the masculine and the feminine. And by that, we mean it is the true, exact, sacred, and scientific beginning of the human being as conceived and created by Allah. That is, don't think about what's in your mind or what's in my mind or what's in any other Bradyac's mind. No. What is in the intention of Allah for humanity? What is and was in the intention of Allah for humanity? Well, he's the one who knows, and he's the one that designed it, he conceived it, designed it, and brought it into existence. And that is you and I. That is Adam. So that first section, that the verse 229, which quote unquote an expression of it reads, it is he who has created for you all things that are on the earth, we explain, that's the body. And moreover, his design comprehended the heavens, for he gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments. That's the, we're going to say, the soul, the human potential. And of all things, he has perfect knowledge. So we were created body and soul. Allah conceived us, created us body and soul, the abstract representation of our body is the earth, and the abstract representation of the soul is the seven firmaments. All right. So, and we just explained that. So now, verse 30 of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 30. It says, behold, your Lord said to the angels, I will create a vicegerent in the earth. They will, pardon me, they said, will you place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we do celebrate your praise and glorify your holy name? And he said, I know what you know not. Now, as I proceed, I'm not trying to explain everything in detail, not that I could. But there are many different ways of branching off from this, because this is the Holy Quran itself is holographic. You are, in fact, holographic, meaning that there's something, in fact, in the piece that we're working on a Clear Understanding Institute for the intuition side of the PIIIC, the formation of culture. We're at intuition now, and you'd be surprised to know that the cell itself, I'm talking about the cell, the animal cell, human cell, et cetera, itself is a small representation of some of the highest features of our humanity. I'm talking about high abstract features of our humanity, foresight, insight, intuition, et cetera. So all of those, so I'm saying there's much more to this than we have the time or the interest of trying to explain here. But I want to caution you into not looking for, you know, too much in this small space, so that you'll miss the benefit of what we're trying to share in the limited time and space that we have here right now. So that being said, we're gonna go on. All right. So we're on 30. We're on Ayah 30, Surah Al-Baqarah. So behold, your Lord said to the angels, I will create a vicegerent on earth. That's just a little piece of what we will carry over from verse 229, because we just said the earth is this and the skies is that. So the earth is the body, right? The earth is the body. So I will create a vicegerent on earth, right? So it is something that takes place inside of us, right? Inni ja'ilu fil ard. The English says on the earth, right? The Arabic says fil. So it didn't say al-al-ard. Al-al-ard is on the earth, right? And I believe fawqa is over and above and what have you. But no, it says inni ja'ilu fil-ard, in the earth, right? Laqad kana lakum fi rasulullahi, you have in the messenger. So it's something internal. And that's a simple reading. I will create, so he said, I will create a vicegerent in the earth. So just walk up and you see that the authority first has to take place inside of yourself. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, what he says he's doing, quote, the translation says, on the earth. Now we have to be explicit, in the earth, what he's creating in the earth, in this case, in that we are also focused on what it means for us individually, but the individual being paradigmatic or emblematic or symbolic and representative of the whole. One is representative of the whole, just as Adam and Nafsun Wahida. It all is one representing the whole. Okay, so when you seek to understand that on the level of the individual, Allah says, I am creating in the earth. So who's the earth? The earth is your body. So Allah is creating inside of us, this vicegerent. So this vicegerent, this authority, has to first come inside of that. Now, as a student of Imam Wahid Muhammad and those interested in Imam Muhammad's hermeneutic, Imam Muhammad's tafsir, Imam Muhammad's methodology for thinking, reasoning, interpreting, et cetera. Well, you go from that, right? Well, before that, you actually got earth body, so individual body. Okay, now, next verse. Fil ard, in the earth. Okay, earth, translation, body. So it's something going on in the body, right? Vicegerent, khalifa, right? Whole other world inside of that. Khalifa, but we're sticking inside of the individual. Khalifa fil ard. Khalifa, so just looking at Khalifa, simply as an authority, right? Here's a footnote. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah, he says, Khalifa is a divinely inspired republic. A divinely inspired republic. So that's the totality of it. That's another way of saying Ummah. The Ummah that Allah is talking about is the same as Khalifa when Allah speaks of it, right? But the Ummah, quote unquote, the community has to first be established inside of yourself, right? Abraham, model for that. I want you to understand that there's support, you know, for what we're saying in the Quran very clearly. Surely Abraham, surely كان إبراهيم أمة قانتا لله ولم يكن من الحنيفة ولم يكن من المشركين. Abraham was an ummah. Abraham was an ummah, right? Abraham was himself established with authority inside of himself, and he is also the model for us. And he's also the fulfillment of the realization of all that happened in Adam, meaning all of the possibilities and all the potential that is represented in the label Adam. Upon the potential that we are. Adam is like the seed. Abraham is like the fruit of it all. So Abraham is the fulfillment of this. This is why he's our model. So, but the point is that he's a community, and he also first established the authority inside of himself, right? And so extending that idea, Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, he said, that fine, meaning this reasoning that we're doing, this inference making that we're doing, this interpreting that we're doing, he said, if you can't find a connection with previous scripture, you probably haven't found anything of significance. It's like, okay, it can sound good, it can blah, whatever. But the point is, what is it? Is there a connection between it and previous scripture? Because the Quran is a continuation, a completion, a correction and a commentary on previous scripture. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want you to be very clear that there's a very solid line of connection for all of this reasoning, where the Prophet says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the likeness of myself in relationship to all the other prophets is like one man that built the building. And people go around the structure of the building, say how beautiful and how perfect it is, and it would be but for the absence of this one brick. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am the last of the prophets, I am that brick. So there's a continuity, there's a symmetry, there's a connection, there's an unbroken tie in terms of the work of the bringing of the word of God to humanity and the building up of the vicegerent in the earth, Khalifatul Ard. Then that realization is in what's going on with the prophet, with Abraham, and so what is the scriptural? What is the other scriptural connection? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. So this is a kingdom. It's an authority. When Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, He says that we showed him malakut as-samawati wal ard. We showed Abraham the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth that he might have certitude. This malikatus, samawati wal ard, that authority, that power, you can hear kingdom in that. You can hear, and again, a biblical connection. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So all of this, let's draw it back to the idea. This statement, إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am making in the earth a Khalifa. All of it, all of that has bearing on everything that I've said up to that. It's my total plan, Allah, my total plan is for something in the human being that I've formed and shaped to come to its perfection, right? And again, you have to go back to verse 229 because that perfection comes in those seven firmaments being realized. And the realization of those seven firmaments are abstractly represented and scientifically represented in Surah 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 12 through 14, first given concretely from the alaqat, from the semen, and then coming into the full embodiment in the end. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. At the end of that, okay, so that's something that's built up. That's a picture. That's a map. That's an abstraction that Allah gave us that we have to read out from it the steps to be taken for our actualization in this world. It's the same thing being repeated over and over again. And so when we come to life in this world, it's our turn. Okay, do you want to realize your full possibility while you live? Do you want to realize your full possibility while you live? Then you need to consult the recipe. You need to consult the algorithm. You need to consult the roadmap that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abstractly revealed in the Quran. And let me remind you, I know we're moving at a pace, but I want to remind you of things that have already been said. Imam Muhammad, he said, 1980, now for all these years that I've been working with the locks of secret knowledge, nothing has been as rewarding to me as knowing that actually exactness in scripture is abstract, and abstract in scripture is exactness. So when you're given a I'm closing this. So that close end of quote. So when the Quran gives us concretes, like what appears in 23:12 through 14, and statements like the seven firmaments, those are all abstract, but they are speaking to something very exact, right? And in that same lecture, the Imam says scripture will use figurative expressions. Figurative and abstract mean the same thing. Okay, figurative expression. Scripture will use figurative expressions, figurative speech, and abstract symbols to address what is actual and what is scientific and what is very real. So we spoke about glasses the other day. So this information, these kinds of statements become axioms. They become postulates. They become principles to be applied in the process of reading the Quran with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always remember, none shall touch you but the purified. So it's not just a matter of being intellectually equipped, you know, and literate and what have you. It has everything to do with the state of the heart in terms of that. But presuming that, it's like Allah said to Abraham, when Abraham said, how will the resurrection be? God said, what is it, you don't believe? Oh, do you not have the prerequisite already? Yes, I believe. But yes, my inna qalbi, my standing is not satisfied. I want to have a satisfying understanding. For this, thus did we show Abraham the powers and the laws of the heavens and earth, blah, blah. So, sure, the four birds was in following that. But it's the same principle being applied with when Abraham first began to seek the reality behind everything, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, so the point is that's a mental and a methodological habit that we have to come to scripture with. That's what Allah blessed us with through Imam Muhammad. He gave us a pair of glasses. Like that movie, what is it? The movie's coming out, what is it, The Good Guy or something like that? Ryan Reynolds, whoever. Yeah. His name happens to show up in my head. There's another one way back in the day called They Live. They Live. There was aliens had taken over the world, blah, blah, blah. But then there were these glasses. When you put these glasses on, then you're able to see You're able to see what the rest of the world is mesmerized by, but not knowing that they have been entranced by these aliens that are communicating to them through billboards and TV, blah, 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 unbeknownst to them. But once you put these glasses on, then you can see what the rest of the world does not see. Yes, it is like the red pill, blue pill of the matrix, or what have you. What I'm saying is that Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi gave us a way of seeing, gave us a way of looking at scripture and abstracts and science, because it goes both ways. Alhamdulillah. So sometimes I get too excited. I get away from the focus at hand. So let's go back to the focus at hand. I guess I'm more energetic about making sure that don't think we're just talking out of our hat. This is following principles, processes, precepts that have been given to us more than 40 years ago. So let's go. All right. So when in verse 30, where it says, I will create a vicegerent on earth. And again, that's translations. I have to just stop saying it. In fact, let me just I'm gonna change it on my paper. In earth, all right? And I'm going to even leave the out of it so I'll recognize, well, what's wrong with this sentence? Because it's to emphasize that it's in the earth at this stage. All right. So the earth is an abstract, but it's speaking to something that's exact. It's speaking to something that's scientific, speaking to something that's science and that's real. And it's also speaking to something that is in us, and particularly our nature. And then the next thing from verse 29 gave us the seven firmaments, et cetera. So the buildup is a buildup inside of us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be added unto you. That's biblical, right? But I could also share with you a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that does the same. It's not something, you know, I'm not the memorizer, but the point is that the story of when you go, you can go to the Bible, look at the parable of the banquet, and that parable of the banquet is that a man prepared a banquet. And he invited everybody to come in, and everybody had all kind of excuses about why they couldn't come in. But still, the one who had planned the banquet, it planned the banquet for whoever shows up, then that's who comes to the banquet. Those who got the invitation didn't accept the invitation, and they don't make it to the banquet. They don't eat, right? And so that parable is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. Almost literally and exactly, there's a hadith that uses that same parable. To explain to those who obey Allah are the ones who answer the call, answer the invitation to the banquet. The banquet hall that they'll eat from is the paradise that Al-Islam invites them to. If you don't accept the invitation, then you don't get to come to the banquet. Accepting the invitation means obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about this, the whole idea about the kingdom of heaven, et cetera, all this applies to the formalized development, formation, establishment, perfection of your own potential in the seven firmaments that are inside of you. But let's finish this verse because it's critical aspects for it even so. Behold, thy Lord said to the angels, I will create a vicegerent in earth. They said, will thou place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood? Excuse me. While we do celebrate your praises and glorify your holy name. He, Allah, said, I know what you know not. All right. All right, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah. One of the first things, well, many things, but among the early things that he told us that is to, when you see something, hear something that seems to contradict, seems to conflict with what is established by Allah, the Prophet, et cetera, then you should look into that to see if there's a message because there may be what appears to be an apparent contradiction, but it's only an apparent contradiction. And let me refer you to some. The title of the book is Misquoting Muhammad. So he's talking about the relationship between Hadith and the Quran, and the way people interpret Hadith, and all the problems the book is about the controversies of Hadith. Let's just put it like that. And so I find it to be an excellent piece for dealing with all of the issues that are contemporary for us around Hadith, and have been around for centuries in some cases. I can't elaborate at this moment, and that's why I'm sending you to the book. You can finally go look at it. But explains very much so. It's like when there are conflicts in reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first response is not to let's just get rid of both of them. No, you have to go down to that place where there's a reconciliation. Seek a reconciliation between the two. And that's a very, very important, very, very important process. You know, I tell you about books, and I tell you that because it's a benefit to you and it's a benefit to me, and I've already explained where I stand and where the imam stands on that. But therefore, I got to tell you another book. that's very important, and I think that. So any of you who are readers in this regard and in this way, well then, that I'm saying, just like you might look to me for, okay, what about movie X, movie Y? Yeah, I have some things to say about movies, but also I have a lot to say also about books. So here's a book that will help you also get to understanding of some of the other aspects that I'm trying to point out to you now. The title of the book is Surfaces and Essences, and it's by Douglas Hofstadter. It's Hofstadter. I'm saying to you, any of you who is really interested or who are really interested in understanding the science of analogies. He's doing it as a cognitive linguist. He's doing it as a cognitive scientist. He's also a physicist and the like. So it's not, we say analogy, he's not doing it as a religious person. He's doing it as a scientist. Scientist in the sense of like Noam Chomsky type folks. So it's very, 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 very useful. Now I'm saying all this so that we can understand that here's the problem. Here you have angels saying what? My bad. I'm realizing now. My blog talk, folks, I owe y'all an apology. That's right. I owe y'all an apology. I was wondering where y'all were. Now I see you all showing up because you were expecting me to start at 10:30. And I started at 10 o'clock. So I owe you something for that. I owe you something for that. Please, please, please forgive me. Mashallah. So it will be, the blog talk will still, it will be there, inshallah. And also you can go to YouTube and Facebook Live. I don't know how I got on 10 o'clock this morning. Whew, it's been a whirlwind week. In any case, so please forgive me, my blog talk folks. I love you. I know you are the permanent soldiers in this walk with me. So I had to figure out something special I'd do for you. All right, that's as much I can do right now. So any case, right. So where were we at? We're on contradictions. We're on contradictions. And this these contradictions are signals. Contradictions are signals to, well, you need to look at something. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? So what are we speaking of specifically? Allah says here, your Lord said to the angels, all right? But then these angels question God. These angels in this verse question God, right? Will you place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood? While we do celebrate your praise and glorify your holy name. Allah says, I know what you know not. And I've already excused myself to, I'm not trying to explain everything, not even necessarily that I could. Doubtless I couldn't, but I am not trying to explain everything. But let's go with the issue of the angels. In the 16th chapter and the 50th verse, I think that's sort of the Nahl, the B, I believe. Surah 16. Speaking of the angels, it says, they fear their Lord above them, and they do what they are commanded. This is the angels, right? 16:50. I want you to ask yourself, and I believe that's the invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, to ask ourselves, who is this talking when they're questioning God about something that he said he was doing? And then they are, by implication, saying that maybe you're making a mistake. Angels, right? Another verse, or two verses more, Surah 21, Ayah 26 to 27, all right? Speaking of the people who say the God has begotten a son, it says, and they say, the most beneficent Allah has begotten a child from the angels. Far removed is he. So that's mashallah. Let's look at this. Let's see. Oh, that's bracketed. 21 and 26 and 27. 21, 26. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا سبحانه بل عباد مكرمون صدق الله العظيم. It says, so there's nothing in here about angels, okay? And they say, the merciful, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, Ar-Rahman, has begotten a child. So it's not, so even that again, warning on translation. The most beneficent has begotten a child from the angels. Side of a footnote is this random translation, and I believe it, the translation is probably, if it's not Yusuf Ali, then it's the Sahih International. But in any case, I didn't make a particular note of that because that's not the foundation for the meaning that we're drawing out. But it makes you think, and that's what we have to learn how to do more of. You know, be awake, be alive, be conscious, take pause too. Wait a minute. How can that be if that's that and that's that? But that's why you have to learn how to read the Arabic itself, that he has begotten Ar-Rahman. So nothing about angels in that verse, but that's what they said, right? And then it says, so now they are honored servants, taking a son. They are honored servants. So, oh, wow. So the idea is that if you want to understand, now we're reasoning. Now it's intuition. Now it's that arises out of what is implied in the verse and reasoning from the implication. So, which is valid. Okay, don't think, no, only say what's right there. No, it is signaling something, right? So you have to be sensitive to what's being signaled. So what's being signaled is that they say the most merciful has taken a son. Then Allah says, "Bal," he said, "No, rather they are honored servants." God is telling us right there, those that you are calling my children, i.e., the son of God, no. They are servants. They are honored servants. And also, the other thing, and it goes the other way, where the imam points out to us that if Allah wanted a son, he would create it from those he's already created, right? And the implication for that is that the problem with labeling Jesus as the son of God and making it the begotten of God, the only problem is saying that he's begotten by God, like you and I beget walad, right? Like you, that's the problem. But the closeness, the importance, the significance, the originality, the purity, the connection by those means of Isa and all the prophets to Allah is valid. You're just mislabeling it. You're just mislabeling it, okay? Because lem yalid wa lem yulad wa lem yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. He was never born, never gave birth, and there's nothing in creation like him. All right. So the honored servants, and they speak not until he has spoken, and they act on his command. So that's all the servants, the prophets and all the ibadullah, right? All the servants of Allah. That's the way they are. But here we have these angels saying, well, wait a minute. Are you sure that's what you want to do? No. So then what does that tell us? It tells us the implication is that, well, maybe these are not angels in the typical way that we understand angels, the way that we see and understand angels. Creatures of total obedience, having no will of their own, only doing and serving as Allah has ordered for them to do and serve. So maybe these angels that are being spoken of here are not angels in the explicit sense. All right? I believe that's the case. So Allah, in this, he declares his purpose to the angels. Now here, let's clarify this, and Allah knows best. Allah knows, period. Devoted, they are persons that are devoted but not fully enlightened, okay, who express fear and concern about the freedom of this new creature. So God said, I'm going to make something that he's not going to be like the angels, and the jinn already existed. The jinn already existed, and the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. So the jinn already existed, and there are stories about what the jinn had done on the earth, and at-Tabari, subjects like that, they give you the teaching on that. But the point is that it's a new kind of creature that had not been shown before. And if it's not going to be like God, if it's not going to be like the angels, then it could possibly be like the jinn who has a reputation already at this stage in this picture. So the angels basically asking, what is it going to be? And just the very fact that they have that question is answered by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you know not. right? Because even with that question, you ask a question, that means you don't know, right? So the clear statement is, I know what you don't know, as obvious as it is as relates to God. I know what you know not. But at the same time is that you're asking this question because of something that you don't know. You're asking this question because of something that you don't know. And I know what it is that you don't know. I know why you're asking that question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I believe, Allahu alam, that this is what we are to take from that. Now, I found it in my experience, and I think that some of you may have, maybe you may not, but you perhaps have not labeled it in the way that I label it, but I suggest to you this. Because remember, the Imam explained to us that the birth of Adam, the creation of Adam, is not just a one-time historical thing, but it's what happens every time a human being is created. Every time. The story of Adam is the story of how God created the first person, and that's the story of how God created every person. So this is our story. This is always our story. So that these angels are asking these questions, they're still around right now. For all of us. And that new birth is also at the time of reverts and converts, for example. It's like you come to new birth every time a new one says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That's Adam coming to life again. That's Adam. Even after your birth, obviously. You know, many of us became reverts after adulthood in that sense. Well, you're still Adam. You're still brand new. You're still beginning. And there are still some angels that are all, and some jinn, that are already there when you showed up, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. And the same challenge that Adam in the original space, let's just call it, don't think Star Trek, in that original domain, in that original environment, what he had to face is what we had to face in our birth as new Muslims. We had to face the same thing. So there were angels. There are angels in our community, genuine, good, sincere Muslim, believing Muslims who look at the new one and look at some of the freedoms that the new ones, I have to put this particularly in light of the souls of Imam Wahdani Muhammad and what the Imam has shown us and what he enlightened us about. And the quote-unquote, I hate to call them liberties, because there's connotation in that, you know, well, you're taking liberties with this and taking liberties with that. I don't want to use that term, but a better term escapes me right now. But let me describe what I'm trying to point to. There are restrictions that people in al-Islam who are our predecessors in al-Islam, even those who are born in al-Islam, statistically Muslim countries, who are sincere in their desire to maintain what they believe to be the purity of the religion and the purity of the practice, and they want to protect the precincts of religion in that sense. And keep the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the right track, and they believe it's their job, believe it's their responsibility, and they have made sacrifices, and they have purified themselves, and they have, you know, they've done things to really be good models and examples, etc. But there are things that they too have not learned, and there are restrictions that they have put upon themselves that Allah did not put on them, because remember, they're humans. Everybody I'm talking about is humans. And I'm saying even among the believing Muslims who are sincere in their desire, well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, but there's still something missing. There's a level of knowledge that they don't have. It could be, in instances that I'm thinking of, it could be that the culture that you were acculturated in as a Muslim, or I should say even they were acculturated in as a Muslim, was one that set boundaries that Allah hadn't set, set limitations that Allah hadn't set, had made haram what Allah had made haram, had abridged freedoms that Allah had not abridged. And so now here comes a new Muslim, a revert to al-Islam, who was not born in a Muslim country, who is not acculturated in a Muslim country, and who come with a fresh new heart and a fresh new set of eyes, and they look at the religion, and they look at the Quran, and they look at the sayings and the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they say, oh, we can do this. Oh, it's not wrong to do that. Oh, it's just a particularity of a particular culture, which is halal for them. And it's appropriate for them to set those limitations if the people, ahl al-hal wal-uqad, I'll have to give you some labels, the people who have the rights to bind and to set free, ulul amri minkum, if you live in a country and the country said no to this, that, or the other, then they have the rights of authority for that, well, then for you in that place, in that time, that restriction is proper for you, and it's legitimate, okay? But if I'm not acculturated, if I'm not under the jurisdiction of that particular Islamic jurisdiction that had the rights to establish the laws that they had, and those laws don't contravene or go against what has been explicitly stated by the Quran, it is what it is. That's where you live. Then you live under those rules. Obey Allah, obey the Messenger, obey those charges of authority amongst you. But if I don't, then I don't have to. But then if you, say, for example, come to America and you say, oh, you're Muslim? Yeah, I'm Muslim, blah, blah, blah. Well, then why y'all do this and why y'all do that? You know, it's like, no, that's not right. Subhanallah. Okay, on the basis of what? Why is this? It's not acceptable. Why? Because in my country, I always was told, and we always do it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, alhamdulillah, good, that's for you. But you, by right, have accepted and was raised up under a culture and an authority that made this unacceptable for you as a Muslim. But you, if you mistranslate culture and you, how can you say, you conflate your culture with the religion, well, then that's the problem right there. It's like, it's right for you culturally, and it's right for you as an Islamic culture. But it's right with those boundaries. Outside of those boundaries, those are freedoms that have not been abridged in everything that I'm thinking of, that have not been abridged for me as a Muslim. And in my space and time, this is fine for me, but you might see this as a freedom that should not be embraced. Well, maybe you're one of those angels that are questioning the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being. And when a human being takes advantage of those freedoms, but it contravenes, it goes against your good establishment where you are and where you were, then you may indict the behavior and seek to set boundaries on those upon whom Allah has not set those same boundaries. And so in this particular verse, God declares his purpose, and everything that I've spoken of so far, is it speaks to the freedom that human beings have in toto relative to Allah's plan. And yes, one of the things, God didn't say that, no, he's not going to do that, I got that. No, God didn't say he wasn't going to do some of the things that you said, you know, but there's also another element tied to it that you don't know. So in that freedom has its own corrective measurement. The universe itself, actually, let's just take a breath, that the universe itself, the qadr, right? It's like, yeah, you have freedom. Okay, when you act in your freedom, then you act right, you're going to get the benefit. You act wrong, you're going to get the harm. All right? Now, you keep acting in the presence of the harm that comes in consequence of your acting in that way, wouldn't you just be destroyed by it? And really, that's the end of the story, you know, minus judgment. But the point is that even acting in freedom inside of a universe that is saturated by universal law, then the experience itself is going to be a corrective mechanism for the one who acts in a way that's not in their own interest, whether that interest be as a part of the group that they belong to or themselves personally. So it's just because, no, I get, you know, once bitten, twice shy, right? You know, you touch the fire burns you. Say, okay, so now, you know, don't touch that, right? Okay, well, that's how it is with the universe of laws. So the point is that, and even let's go ahead and say this, even when the Quran says, and in much suspicion, there is sin, in much suspicion, there is sin. One of the ways to understand that is that the suspicion itself is a punishment. The suspicion itself is a punishment. Right? You suspect this person. You suspect that person. You're walking around with these suspicions. Try to say that fast 10 times. You walk around with these suspicions, and what you'll have to recognize is that the suspicions themselves are a burden on you. Now, it's not your job to be the investigator. Now, if you are a police investigator, or if you are someone that has a responsibility to seek out the justice in a situation or what have you, then, okay, yeah, that can be a burden, but then it's a part of your job, so you got to know how to manage that. All I'm trying to point to is that there are people who have suspicions, and they carry those suspicions, and they're not supposed to be carrying those suspicions, so therefore the carriage of the suspicion itself is a burden, is a problem, is a punishment. And the Imam also says, he says that inside of every sin is its own punishment. Inside of every sin, that is, every sin comes with its own punishment. Another college professor literally says that nobody gets away with anything. And he wasn't saying this rhetorically. This is after a long line of reasoning and rationale and history and all of that kind of research. The conclusion that he came to after decades of research is that nobody gets away with anything. Why? Because of the Qadr. He didn't come at it that way, but that's what we have in al-Islam. In al-Islam, the Qadr is one law that brings its consequence on everyone, right? Khayr and Shar, right? All right, so again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nevertheless, I know what you don't know, all of this is inside of that conversation, right? So if you can understand and accept that the angel is not the typical angel, the beings of light as created, as we understand the angels are created beings of light. Not those angels. These are human angels. They are good. They want to serve Allah. They are obedient to Allah. But they, in their own rationality, their own level of knowledge, is limited. And being so limited, they have suspicions about things that they have not been enlightened about. They have suspicions about things, which one of them, as we pointed out, is the freedom that comes with the humanity. This is why you'll find some otherwise good people, even monasticism. Let's go with that. Monasticism and asceticism, which al-Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no, right? No asceticism, no monasticism in al-Islam. The better one, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one who stays among the people and suffers the annoyances for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, all of this has to do with building the ummah as Allah intended. Much to say about the sabil and the mustaqim in connection with that. Well, as well as just short version, the sabil is keeping the mustaqim is the uprightness. You come to the uprightness. You become an upright individual, a person of integrity, right? And then you walk the Sabil. You walk the Sabil. You walk the path without losing your erectness, without losing your standards, without losing your integrity. Yes, you face a lot of things. You face a lot of people. In the man, usra, usra. But you go there, you never lose your uprightness, no matter what you face, in seeking to fulfill the objects of God for you. Well, that's sabil. That's fi sabilillah, right? That's sabil, the mustaqim, rightness that you do it in. Okay, so you have individuals who have this purity, this sincerity, et cetera, but their knowledge is not yet complete, right? Sometimes the greater emphasis is on the idea of being good as opposed to becoming more enlightened, more rational, the greater use of the intellect, reasoning, and also taking advantage of the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, which freedom acted upon in enlightenment lead to advancement. All right. So, so much for that. So one is one who expresses that angel, we're saying, is one who expresses fear and concern about the freedom of the new one. So there are people who they seek to avoid anything that your freedom, entertainment, different things like that. No, you should be making zikr. No, you should be making salat. No, you should be fasting. No. Okay, well, if we're talking Ramadan and all the rest of that, yeah, that's that. But otherwise, enjoy life, right? And of course, you have your five daily prayers. You have all those other things, but the enjoyments and the pleasures and the entertainments, you know, of this world, meaning of this life, because I know this world's entertainment is, it's crazy. They got things like just the right amount of wrong. Man, when you come to this city, they say, we got just the right amount of wrong. Crazy. So you know I'm not talking about that. Let's move on to another point. So there are things that you don't know. This is what Allah is saying. There are things that you don't know about the future behavior of the creature because I haven't taught you everything. See, this is, you can get a picture like this from Musa and Khizr. That's in Surah 18. When Moses said, let me go with you so I can learn some of what Allah has taught you. And then the wise men told him, he says, you can't have patience with me. And Moses said, yes, I can't. He said, how can you have patience with that about which your knowledge is incomplete? How can you have patience with that about which your knowledge is incomplete? So Musa, in relationship to the wise man, is like these angels in relationship to what Allah is doing with Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Their knowledge about Adam was not yet complete. Why? Because Allah had not taught them the truth and the reality about the potential and the destiny, Adam, right? So it's natural for them to feel that way. In the description I've given, natural for them to feel that way. But oh wow, we trust you. Now you're gonna create something that's not obligated to be under whatever you say. It's a question, but it's not the beings of light that ask those kinds of questions. It's human beings who, as good as they are, still have some doubts about human nature. And this has been, and this is the history of human beings. And I'm saying to you that those people that, you know, whatever, they're agnostics, they're atheists, they're nihilists, they're cynics, whatever attitude they have about, you have those, even that whole movie series, Twilight, the vampire love story, whatever. It's like, you know, it's just like, I don't want to be human. I don't want to be human. It's like to be human is weak. I just saw a little crazy young, he's crazy. He's crazy. Just is look up. Yeah, I know people can have their own interpretation or whatever, Lil Wayne or whatever. Lil Wayne, I saw some video of him this morning, whatever. But, you know, it's one of the albums, few albums ago, whatever, that I'm not human. I'm not a human being. That's the title of the album. I'm not a human being, right? So, and the lie that's told on Adam in general, right, by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and that label is labeled on human nature. Human being were created in sin, right? Original sin, all that kind of language. And, man, Allah has done all that, and all that is something that's been, you know, thrown in the pot. And it all comes from everything I talk about, from the high to the low, the good, bad, and indifferent relative to it. It is all because of mistaken notions about God and about human nature, right? So you have those of the highest order of goodness, but they have mistaken notions about the nature of the human being because of what they don't know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imbued and instilled and created with the human nature, all right? So there are things that you don't know about the future behavior of this creature because I haven't taught you everything, okay? Moses and the wise man parable, said, Moses thought he knew everything there is to know. But then when he got with the wise man, he realized that your education is not complete. Okay, such is the case with these angels. And then also, secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala effectively saying, my plan is all-encompassing and includes in my new creation an end that I haven't equipped you to understand. There's so many things, I mean, just about life in general, that nobody fully understands, right? But then you also have those who feel themselves so dedicated to Allah. Sometimes they make the mistake of thinking that their purity is complete, that their enlightenment is complete, and they have found that beyond which they don't need to go in order to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many dramatic ways I could present that now, but I don't want to do that, because I think I would have to come across as mocking more so, because there are those who present this image of purity, this image of wisdom and enlightenment, such that they have no shadow, right? And there are those who are looking for people like that to submit themselves to. And that's a problem. So staying in our Adamic form, concretely, abstractly, is the critical piece. And staying on the path of our growth and development as human beings, that's the struggle. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Staying on the path for my correct construction. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show me the way to my proper standards, to my proper growth, to an upright being, not being distracted by evil or false purity, which would also fall on the side of evil, but it's a different kind of evil, leprosy. All right, and then Allah says, he says, I know what you know not. Allah, I am the all-wise. I know what you don't know. So alhamdulillah, so that's going to be verse 30 for us today. And again, my humble apologies to my Blog Talk folks. I'll remember that 10:30 is when the broadcast starts. A lot of changes going on over here. Alhamdulillah. But you can go back and get that as well. Now, let's go give you opportunity. I can see some of the typing here on Facebook and YouTube links. Well, I can see the Facebook ones. Nobody's typing from YouTube right now. All right, so I think we probably have about 10 minutes before they literally cut us off based on the way I said it. So be concise in your comments that you want to bring. So push one on your phone, Blog Talk. If you have a comment that you'd like to bring, type in your question, statement, comment on the Facebook side, inshallah, and read it. Greetings to all of you. Alhamdulillah. Let's go. I think this is Brenda. Brenda, you got something to say today? Assalamu alaikum. 866. All right. Let's see. I guess not. Yes, hello, hello. All right. I'm going to check out 866. Assalamu alaikum. Any other or anyone with comment, push one on your phone, going through Facebook. This is my last call, and we're going to move on. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.